Follow us on Twitter at Sports Radio WNML to keep up with breaking sports news. Now, back to Sports Talk with John Wilkerson and Jimmy Himes on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Welcome back to Sports Talk. I'm Jimmy Himes along with Vince Ferrara, and we are pleased to be joined by a very special guest, and that is John Chavis, former defensive coordinator at the University of Tennessee, was on that staff that won a national championship, multiple SEC championships. One of the great defensive coordinators the SEC has seen. He was also at LSU and Texas A&M as well. John, how are you?
I'm doing great, Jimmy.
Well, thank you for joining us. We really appreciate it. You had a chance to watch the SEC championship game. I was looking for more of a low-scoring game. I was wrong about that. Were you surprised that Alabama moved the football so effectively against that great Georgia defense?
Well, you know, I was surprised at the points that were scored on both sides. You know, I'm kind of like you, Jimmy. I thought it would be 17 to 10 Alabama. I felt confident that Alabama would win. Mm-hmm. You know, not that I was pulling for anybody, but just what I've seen from those teams and what I know about how Nick prepares his teams. But I was surprised that there were so many points scored.
Well, Nick Saban's kind of hard to beat when he's an underdog, isn't he? I was just looking at this stat. He's been an underdog like 5 times the last 4 years, and every time he was an underdog, he won by at least 10 points.
Yeah, there's no doubt. He knows how to get his players ready to go play. And, you know, it's kind of really funny, you know, some of his comments. You know, he talked about rat poison going into the into the game, and I knew when he was saying things like that, you know, he was feeling pretty good about where his football team was.
Yeah, he wouldn't use that for motivation, I'm sure.
it's what you got to do, you know, and he does a good job of pulling out the right stuff.
John, I enjoyed listening to you at the Knoxville Quarterback Club recently, and I do want to ask you this. We have seen more and more teams go into this up-tempo, high-octane offense. You were a defensive coordinator, a great one for many years. What's the best way to try to defend those up-tempo offenses? Is it just more speed on defense, or is it more than that?
Well, it's a little more than that. You know, you got to have good scheme, and I think this, what you really got to do is you got to, you know, each team's going to be a little bit different based on who the quarterback is, and you got to be able to know and not let the quarterback beat you by, you know, him giving you false keys. And, you know, we said, okay, how many guys you got on defense that's going to actually keep the quarterback? You know, that front seven has to be a big part of that, and particularly linebackers. And, you know, some of the things that we did, in terms of disguising blitzes, you know, showing pressure one side, bringing it from the other side, you know, they're going to look for that rotation. That quarterback's going to look for that rotation with the safety on certain plays, and he's going to know right now which side he's going to, you know. But what we do and what we found out is occasionally, you know, you'll get them to call the wrong protection, you know, if they really buy into the blitz that you're showing. But you got to be ready to play fast, and you got to keep it mixed up. You can't show them the same coverage time and time again, you know, and I think those are the important things.
John, Colt Kubelik had mentioned that he thought that Alabama went away from their typical RPO game with Bryce Young, and that maybe Georgia didn't adjust to that or expect that they wouldn't do as much of that RPO. If you expect a team that does a lot of RPO and they don't do that, what kind of adjustment is that in game for the defense?
Well, it shouldn't be a big adjustment. You should be able to make that adjustment. It's easier, you know, making that adjustment than it would be to say, okay, they're a drop back team and all of a sudden now they're running RPO after RPO. You know, that's the toughest adjustment because you have to get your players tuned into it. You know, I think, you know, that you got to be able to make those adjustments on the field. But that's one thing about, you know, being a pressure type defense. And certainly, I think this, you got to get the quarterback off rhythm. And, you know, certainly that didn't happen as much for Georgia as I thought it would because they've got a great front seven and they got some linebackers that, man, you know, they can really bring it, you know, in terms of the, you know, running their blitzes and making those things happen. But what we saw a little bit of when they did do that, you know, it was some bust on the back end, you know, and you know, it made it not easy, but a little bit easier for the quarterback to deliver the ball to the right spot.
So how much do you think Alabama's offense would change without John Metchie the third, who obviously, you know, put even more pressure on that Georgia defense as dynamic as he is?
Well, you know, you got to go next guy up, and that's, you know, that's what coaches are going to tell you all the time, but I believe in that. And you got to sell your football team that, hey, somebody's got to pick up the slack. You know, the thing that I saw from, you know, from the Auburn game to the Georgia game, it was like they had a totally different offensive line. And I think they had some people that were a little bit nicked up, and certainly those guys got healthy. But, you know, I didn't see them bust very many assignments in the offensive line, mm-hmm. you know, because, you know, they gave enough time and enough opportunity for the quarterback to make the right throw.
Our guest, John Chavis, former defensive coordinator at Tennessee on the national championship staff, 1998. John, I remember a game 10 years ago when LSU beat Alabama 9-6, and then in a rematch, it was 21-0. Great defenses in the league. And now you're seeing such an uptick in offense, points being scored. I think Alabama led the SEC in points allowed last year, like 19 a game. Are you surprised that the SEC has gone from such a great defensive league to more of an offensive league?
Well, you know, I think, you know, in terms of, you know, what the rules allow you to do, Jimmy, and I'm not making excuses. You know, you gotta understand, you know, when they allow you to go as fast as they're letting you go, then if I was a head coach, I'd be doing the same thing. I'd be taking advantage of it. And they've made it more of a scoring game, entertainment. You know, that's what, you know, fans want to see. You know, there's a lot of fans out there that still love good, tough, hard-nosed defense. But, you know, it's amazing. And I think someone at the end of the game and some of their broadcasters talked about it, and they made the statement, and I'm not going to totally agree with this, but they made the statement, you know, there was a time when great defense has always won, and now it's who's got the best offense that's going to win. Well, you know, it's about execution, and it's about, you know, having a game plan that you can, you know, understand, and everybody doing their job, whether it's protection, whatever it is. But it's really about execution. And Jimmy, the biggest thing that I've realized, and I've done, you know, some studies, and I've watched some teams, but listen, if you don't have the right guy at quarterback, you know, when you play good people, you're going to get your nose bloody. And those guys right now, you know, it's the, you know, you got to have them. And there's no question about that. They're the most important guy on the field. You look at it and you know, with some of these, you know, fast-paced offenses, and you can see guys that do a lot of stuff. But unless you got the right guy there, you know, it's really tough, you know, because you're going to put your defense back out on the field. Mm-hmm. But, you know, defense has got to get off the field. So, hey, it's about having the right guy. I think you win games with quarterbacks and defense. I'll put both of those together.
Tennessee played against Kentucky 103 gradable snaps. And I wonder, and you coached a long time, can a defense recover from 1 week to the next? When now I know not all of them played 103 snaps, but how hard is it for a defense to recover from 1 week to the next when they play that many snaps?
Well, you know, Jimmy, I'll give you what we did from experience, and I felt that way, and I talked with Philip about it a long time. It was, I can't remember what year it was, but we played Kentucky, and we had a bunch of snaps because we went into five overtimes, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And we had to, you know, we really toned things back. You know, we did a lot of mental work. You know, we did some physical work, but it's just like in the, you know, when you're preparing for the beginning of the season, you know, you got 3 weeks and you want to push them real hard, but you know, and this is another example I'll give you. And this had a lot to do with it. The 11 defense that you mentioned early at LSU, you know, I got Les to let us go inside defensively and practice the last 10 days that we were outside. And, you know, he said, okay, if you think that's going to help us, it's going to help us. And, Jimmy, that was the fastest defense in the first opening game, you know, for that I ever coached, because guess what? They were fresh. Mm-hmm. They were fresh. because you can get rest. You can get rest, but you're not going to get back to 100% of what you had. I guarantee you it's not going to happen, you know. So, you know, we did that by keeping them out of the heat, you know, for that period of time. And the only reason I did it then because we were going to be playing in Dallas and we were going to be playing inside where the heat was not going to be a factor.
Another offshoot of this hurry-up offense, we have seen and everybody's noticed it, a lot of fake injuries. What's the solution to that, John? What can college football do to stop some of this?
Well, Jimmy, if they just go back and you know, I don't want to get on officials, but if they just go back and officiate the game, it would be fine. And I mentioned this a little bit. I jumped around a little bit. I mentioned it a little bit at the quarterback club last time I was there. You know, we used to have a 26-second clock, okay? And once they put the ball in play, you know, the offense had 26 seconds to, you know, snap the ball. Well, you know, everybody's, you know, worried, you know, speed up, do this. And so that's why they went to the 40-second clock. The officials told us as being assistant coaches, you know, they come in during the spring and work with, told us, look, this is what's going to happen. It takes the officials 14 seconds to do everything they need to do before the ball is snapped. So we're going to implement this 40-second clock, but we're not going to blow the ball in play until the officials are where they needed to be or they get to where they need to be. And they're able to do their job. Well, that's fine. And if they would do that early on, they did it a little bit. But now you see an officials rush to spot the ball. And, yeah. You know, but the 14 seconds it gives everybody enough opportunity. And it you know, it's a safety matter and everything is built in there. So if you had that, guess what? You know, Jimmy, if you're a player and you're gassed and you can't go, you know, and you can't run off the field. You know, you're not going to get a defensive timeout. You know, it's not going to happen. You know, it's unusual, and that's understood. But if they would apply those rules that they originally told us, then it's going to slow it down a little bit. Not going to slow it down a much. But then mm-hmm. I think you'd see guys being able to, you know, 14 seconds a guy can run off, and you can get a substitution out there, and you can be ready to play. And that was the understanding. And I don't know why they got away from it, but that's the way the rule. When it initially came in, was supposed to be handled.
Interesting.
John, is there anything else, whether it's in-game rules or even anything in recruiting, that you think would be a positive, a change, an adjustment that you could make or suggest to someone to make that move?
In terms of, you know...
Either a rule,
kind of wide open.
Yeah. Either a rule, maybe a rule in football. You know, we were talking about how to fix those fake injuries. Is there something else that you would like to see implemented that would be a positive change? Anything in terms of rules?
Well, you know, I'm good with the rules. You know, because they've made them even. You know, as much as they can. You know, we as defensive coaches, you know, the targeting rule and stuff like that. You know, we used to get those corners that would come in there, the ones that had the courage to do it and crack a safety from the outside in, you know, and on run plays and stuff. And they were targeting and doing all that. You know, when they first started that rule, you know, it was, you know, to protect the ball carrier. Well, you got to protect those other folks. And I think they, you know, you don't see many of them call because they're not doing it now, but, you know, they've taken out away and also, you know, putting a big tight end outside and off the line of scrimmage, bringing him in motion and letting him crack a defensive lineman on in the line of scrimmage. You know, those are great ways to get good players hurt. And I think Nick had a lot to do with getting that rule, you know, enforced and changed. But, you know, it's a good game. And I'd hate to be an official because, man, they got a tough job. I think they've made it a little bit tougher by not, you know, using the 40-second rule and allowing them to get in position to be able to call the game. You know, you get a ball thrown downfield, you know, you got, you know, and those guys, they don't have a substitute. They got to hustle back and get back in position and do those things. And certainly I think they do a great job. I think particularly in the SEC, the officials do a great job. And I think most of the things that I'm aware of, you know, we had a chance to address it, and some of them were certainly changed.
Our guest, John Chavis. John, do you like the transfer portal, which gives the players more freedom, or do you have concerns that maybe in some cases it encourages players to quit?
Well, you know, Jimmy, I was raised, I'm old-fashioned, old country boy. I was raised a little bit different. I'll give you an example using me. Okay? And it didn't have anything to do with the portal. But at that time, when Coach Battle, I played my first 2 years for Coach Battle, my last 2 years for Coach Majors. And we had a coach on the staff when Coach Battle was fired that I'd had, you know, relationships with. He tried to get me to transfer to West Virginia. Bobby Bowden was the head coach there at that time, you know, and I was still a walk-on. He said, look, it's full scholarship. You got everything taken care of. You're not going to have any better. And I've talked to them, and they want you to come. Well, yeah, I called my mom and dad, and it was very simple. Hey, finish what you started. Finish what you started. That's what we've always done. That's what you're going to do. And it's the best thing I ever did was to finish what I started.
Yeah. John, one other thing I want to ask you. Do you have the itch to get back into coaching again?
Yeah. Yeah. Jimmy, I've talked with a couple people. Mm-hmm. And, I don't know, what's going to happen, exactly. But I'm certainly doing my due diligence to try to get back in. If I don't get back in, that'll be God's will, and that's okay. I'm okay with it. But, yeah, I want to get back in. I want to finish in the right way.
Hey, John, thank you so much for joining us. Really do appreciate it. Great to catch up with you again. Enjoyed your speech at the Knoxville Quarterback Club, and hopefully we'll get a chance to visit again soon.
All righty.
Thank you, John.
Thanks for having me on.
Thanks,
yes, sir.
Man.
Thank you.
All right.
That's John Chavis, former Tennessee defensive coordinator on that national championship team 1998. Let's hear now from Kennedy Chandler, Tennessee point guard, 27 points against Colorado. Hear comments from Tennessee's freshman, Kennedy Chandler.
How much confidence and comfort do you and Folky have playing two-man game together?
You know, I love playing Folky. You know, he's a great player, a great roller. And, you know, me and him have a chemistry, you know, playing pick and roll. If I want to come back and get it or if I know he's rolling, we've just been trying to get that chemistry back. I mean, not get it back, but, you know, get that chemistry going once the game starts. And, you know, I think I had like two pocket passes on him earlier in the game, so we just got to fill with each other.
Yeah, Kennedy, it looked like you might have been a little more vocal on the court than you have been in other games this year. Is that just a road game thing, a different environment thing, or just the way that you were playing today?
Well, you know, I've just been trying to, you know, be a leader, you know, trying to get better and better every single game to try to lead my team, even though I'm a freshman playing with veterans, you know. But like I say, I'm the point guard. As Coach Barnes said, I'm the point guard. He told me a lot of stories about TJ Ford, how he led his team, and that's what I need to do for me. So I've been learning a lot from him and him telling me how I need to lead my team. And you know, I've just been trying to get better every single game. So it's not just like a road game for me, even though it's my first road game, but I want to do that every single game, be vocal.
Kennedy, was there something you saw on film or something early in the game where you thought you were going to be able to get to the rim as easily as you were able to do it?
No, actually, I didn't think that would switch the screens, honestly. Well, in the first half, they were just going under the screens, and, you know, I kind of settled for my first two shots. I'm going on the screen, but Club Barnes, like, don't settle, attack. Even though I was going to be able for a screen, so I just kept attacking, and they going downhill, my speed. He's like, you guys get that. He gave you a speed, and that's what I did in the second half. I started switching it, so I just backed it up and took on the big myself. I just knew he was too slow to stay in front of me, and they would help me. I kicked out to one of my teammates. So that was we didn't think they were going to end up switching screens, honestly.
You got up 20 shots today. Is that a reflection of you getting just more confident and assertive, or was it just – like you're saying, the way they were playing you, the opportunity was there?
It was just the way they was playing. Honestly, I didn't even know I took 20 shots. Honestly, I was just playing the game. Honestly, look, during it, for me, I try to find my teammates open. I think this is the first time I don't think I ever took 20 shots in my life in any game I played, honestly, I think. So, you know, I don't look at that. I just play the game, try to play to make the right plays and, you know, find my teammates open. You know, we didn't shoot the ball well from three today, I don't think. A lot of us were 6 for 24, which is, you know, some games, Club Barnes said, if we're not making shots, we got to find other ways to score. So that's what we did today. And, you know, we're not going to let this hold us back. Next game, we'll do the same thing. If we're open, we're going to shoot it. And, you know, we're not going to let this hold us back from it.
Yeah, Kennedy, I know y'all were able to play just fine, you know, most of the time when Josiah was out. But when he's back in there, just how much better do things sort of flow? It just seems like he kind of keeps everything held together a little bit.
His defense, you know, his he brings an attention to defense. He helps a lot. That's what we missed, honestly, on defensive end, his pressure. I think he had a lot of blocks today. I think he had like 3 blocks, honestly. Just him guarding bigs and, you know, bench there from a man and him knocking down shots. And we've been trying to get his confidence up. You know, he didn't start off the season well making shots, but, you know, he did very well, very good at this game.
And you can you run me through that play right before halftime where you kind of took the ball for the final 30 seconds and had that finish at the rim?
I'm trying to think. I can't remember. That play. You know, just coach said, just hold it down. Wait, because I know against Tennessee Tech, I turned the ball over. And ever since then, I just learned my lesson from that. And just wait, be patient. Wait till like 8 seconds to go. And that's what I did. I went downhill and scored the bucket. So, you know, that just – me being confident myself and coach telling me to attack, and that's why I did.
Kenny, were you looking forward to your first true road game, and what do you think of just not only the way you play, but playing in that environment?
You know, I was excited. You know, first road game gets, you know, Colorado. You know, it was hard breathing, honestly. The altitude, you know, was exhausted. I thought I could say everybody was exhausted, but I just had to tell everybody, you know, in the huddle, like, look, this is mental. We got to keep it going, keep fighting. And we saw Colorado, Clay Barnes had some Colorado was tired. And that lets us know that we got more heart than them, we're more mental than them, and that we could keep going and pushing even though we're tired. And that's what we had to do coming in this road game. You know, we started to a slow start, but, you know, that's good. It's not good starting a slow start, but it's good that we could come back and bounce back from that slow start.
Yeah, Kennedy, anything y'all can say to Santi to maybe watch it with those early fouls? I know he's been getting a little bit of foul trouble lately. Is there anything y'all can say to him to maybe cool it a little bit early?
I told him to stop doing that because he's really mean the game the whole time. I said, I need you out there on the court with me. that's just him playing. That's Santi playing aggressive. That's what he does. But sometimes you can't play aggressive. You can't play aggressive sometimes. You got to lay low just a little bit. You got to see how the rest are calling the game. They let you play aggressive. But they won't let nobody play aggressive today, as you see. So I was telling Santi, just play smart because we're going to need you out there in the court for big games. But he still played well. He still had, 13 points and – he did good. You know, we just got to let him know, stop trying to be aggressive so much. But, you know, he'll learn from his game, and we'll get ready for New York and get that role win against Texas Tech. So that's what we're on to next right now.
Tennessee point guard Kennedy Chandler, Tennessee taking on Texas Tech tonight, Madison Square Garden, 7 o'clock. Pleased now to be joined by special guest. Nobody talks NFL better than John McClain of the Houston Chronicle. John, how are you?
Jimmy and Vince, I'm doing great. I hope you guys are having happy holidays.
We certainly are. Hope you are as well. Jonathan Taylor, is he the best running back in the NFL right now that's healthy?
He is, Jimmy. He's having a great year. 18 touchdowns, 16 rushing. That's 16 rushing touchdowns. Ties the franchise record set by Hall of Fame running back Lenny Moore in 1964. And they are going to ride him as far as they can. He's making Carson Wentz's job a lot easier. He's had 145 yards and 143 yards in the Colts' 2 victories over the Texans.
Is it his vision, his speed, his power? What makes him a great back?
One thing I didn't know, and Lovie Smith, the Texans' defensive coordinator, who was at Illinois, the head coach the last 5 years, had to go against Taylor when he played for Wisconsin.
Right.
So he pointed out he was a state high school sprint champion. I didn't realize that because he's 220 to 26 pounds, depending on what a workload he's gotten. And he can turn the corner. He can break tackles. Like most great backs, you know, when a defense is trying to contain you and you're a big part of the game plan, you're going to have a lot of short runs. You're going to have negative runs. I believe Barry Sanders, the greatest breakaway back I've ever seen, had more runs for losses than any back in history. And in Taylor's case, he'll get 1, 2, 0, -1, 15, 20. He's had, I figured last week when I wrote about him, seven gains of 38 or more yards. He also, in their 7 victories, he's rushed for 100 yards. In their 6 losses, he has not rushed for 100 yards.
Hmm. Last night, New England didn't need to throw the ball much to beat the Bills. They ran it 46 times through 3 passes, the fewest number of attempts since 1974. does this spell trouble for the Bills in that not only is New England playing really good football right now, but the Bills don't seem like they're a team that has a really good running attack, which might impact them in inclement weather? Your thoughts on that?
That was one of their issues. They thought they were going to build a better running game. They relied so heavily on Josh Allen, which they shouldn't do. Now, they didn't let him throw but 10 passes in the first half, 20 in the second. You know, it's ridiculous for Buffalo's defense, coached by Leslie Frazier, to have a rookie quarterback who you know they don't want to throw the ball and you let them run. I don't care if you put 10 men on the line of scrimmage. Stop the run, make the rookie throw. Bill Belichick and offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels did not want him to throw, and he didn't. 3 passes. But right now, Patriots, my goodness, 9-4. Bills 7-5. It blows me away. The only thing Buffalo still got going well, it's 3-1 in the division, same as New England. They play in 2 weeks in Foxborough. But, man, oh, man, it was a throwback game, but it was fun to watch. Buffalo should have won that game.
John, the Arizona Cardinals are 10-2 and 7-0 on the road this year. How much of a playoff believer are you in the Arizona Cardinals?
Oh, they're my number one team in the league, Vince, in my weekly rankings. I have them number one. I have the Texans number 32. Cardinals have played better defense. That's even without J.J. Watt. They have been terrific. They've had 16 more touchdowns than their opponents. They're 6-2 in the conference, 4-0 in the division. They play the Rams. They beat the Rams in L.A. Now they play them in a great Monday night game. I can't wait. And what was the most astonishing, they lose Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins for 3 games. Hopkins only missed 1 game in his career. Before that, they got to play Colt McCoy, and you think, okay, the Rams are going to catch them. They went 2-1. That was amazing. Other teams lose their quarterbacks. They struggle big time. I've got them number one in the league. And I tell you what, I was thinking and paying close attention here. I think the MVP is going to come down to Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers, Jonathan Taylor, Offensive Player of the Year, and T.J. Watt, who had a fabulous game against Baltimore. Finally wins Defensive Player of the Year, which he should have won over Aaron Donald last year. And these are pretty set. Offensive Rookie of the Year, Mac Jones. Defensive Rookie of the Year, Micah Parsons from the Cowboys. I don't even know why they need to have the vote. I've got them all set.
John, did the Vikings' loss to the Lions, giving Detroit their first win of the year, was that the nail in the coffin for Mike Zimmer?
Well, now, Vince, you'd think it would be, but what if they won the rest of their games? Now, I don't think they are. Mm-hmm. They host Pittsburgh on Thursday night. It's preposterous for Minnesota to be so far behind the Packers. The Vikings, instead of being 5-7, probably should be 7-5. Mike Zimmer has done a terrible job on defense. And there was a stat about how bad Kirk Cousins is in the fourth quarter when his team's behind. That's a recipe for failure. And they've got a chance to win out, but right now, everybody thinks Mike Zimmer's gone. He's been there 8 years. If he wants to be a defensive coordinator, defensive consultant somewhere next year, he can be. But I definitely look for them to move on unless they have a great finish, which I certainly don't see after the way they lost to the Lions. And not just losing to the Lions, but their bad defense on the last series.
Who's the best team in the AFC right now? Is it New England or the Kansas City Chiefs?
No way I'm going against Kansas City. Kansas City has been on a roll in their 5-game winning streak. They are averaging 11.2 points a game. Patrick Mahomes still has not been consistent. You know, they're 8-4, and he had one game in which he threw for 400 yards and 4 or 5 touchdowns, but then the other night he's very inconsistent, and they still beat up Denver despite the Broncos having over 400 yards. But I think Kansas City, if Kansas City plays New England and you have two defenses playing really well and you have Patrick Mahomes versus Mac Jones, I'm going with Patrick Mahomes every time.
You think New England would run it more than three times against Kansas City?
I certainly think they would. I think they would have to do that. And that could be the way we're coming down to the championship game. Baltimore, 8-4. Baltimore's struggling lately, big time. They can't score. I don't blame John Harbaugh going for two. Lamar Jackson, when you got the option of throwing or running, you should go for two. And Tennessee, of course, 8-4 coming off the bye week, still has so many injuries. I just don't see it. A team, to me, it's Kansas City or New England. You know, maybe the Chargers, maybe the Bills, maybe the Ravens get hot. I don't believe in Cincinnati or Pittsburgh. It's tougher at the top in the NFC.
You mentioned Mahomes. I read where he's gone four games in a row with no more than one touchdown pass. Why do you think he struggled this year?
Boy, that is a big mystery. Andy Reid would like to know that because he sees him every day. First thing you think about, they've been in the Super Bowl 2 years in a row. You know, it's very unusual for a team to be in it 3 years in a row. But maybe the defenses are playing him differently. Maybe it's because they don't do a good job running the ball, but he's thrown more interceptions than he's ever thrown. To me, that's decision-making. You know, he's always taken a lot of chances, and his passes have been completed. Mm-hmm. Now he's taking chances, and they're not. And they're still struggling to run the ball. But when it gets down to the playoffs, give me Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes over just about anybody. Of course, you'd take Belichick over Reid, but I can't imagine that Kansas City would play the kind of defensive game Buffalo did. I saw Buffalo coach Sean McDermott taking shots at his offensive coordinator, Brian Daboll. But I think this, Leslie Frazier, the defensive coordinator, they did a poor job of containing a team that was determined to run. It was ridiculous to be in a game where you allow a quarterback to get away with throwing three passes.
John, Jimmy and I were sitting here trying to figure out some fantasy potential picks from the Tennessee Titans since they're playing the Jaguars, but there's really not anyone you can really trust with all the injuries that they've had. What do you think about the Titans the rest of the way, as banged up as they've been?
Vince, I think if you were going to take something about the Titans against the Jaguars, you would take Ryan Tannehill. He's supposed to get Julio Jones back, I think, but the Jaguars are like the Texans. They've been getting beaten bad. And Detroit, I'm writing a column for tomorrow. The Texans are the worst team in the league. Not technically. Detroit is a half game in front of them for the top pick. But Detroit has lost five games by seven or fewer points and four by three or fewer. Texans only have three of those. So I think in the case of Jacksonville, which has just been awful, also has only 3 one-score losses, they're going down. They're quitting, just like the Texans. So I could see Tannehill having a good game. I could see the defense. If I was going to take a defense this week, it would be Tennessee.
John, do you have much faith at all that the Washington football team, on the fly edit, would perhaps catch the Dallas Cowboys?
They're two games behind. They play in Washington. Taylor Heineke's playing very well. They're running the ball better. Their defense is adjusted without Chase Young. He went down for the year. Now, if they win this game, they'll have a chance. But if the Cowboys win this game, you figure the Cowboys are going to beat them in Washington, sweep the series, have a 4-game lead. I wouldn't sleep on the Eagles. They're one game behind 500, but Dallas should win the game. The Cowboys have more talent. Cowboys have the best quarterback. Their defense is playing well. If the Cowboys don't win the NFC, it'll be one of the worst coaching jobs in the NFL this season.
Green Bay. So if you're the Packers, do you tell Aaron Rodgers, we're really sorry about drafting Jordan Love. We need to keep you around. We're going to get rid of Jordan Love, or we want to sign you to a long contract. We got to do something to keep you. And I know there have been some dealings under the table. What do you do if you're Green Bay? Can you let Aaron Rodgers get away?
And we'll give you a fake vaccination card while we're at it. Since the NFL doesn't seem to care too much about doing a study or an investigation in each team to see how many players are using fake vaccination cards, we'd be morons if we thought that moron Antonio Brown and those other two on Tampa Bay were the only guys using fake vaccination cards, which means they could be exposing people all year. Rodgers' contract, to me, is more, they'd be more worried about this in 2023 than 22. You know, they've been kissing his butt all along, and they're going to have to kiss it some more because Jordan Love is not Aaron Rodgers. And he had one game to play well, and he did not. So I think they'll be on their knees doing anything they can to get him to come back and maybe bringing a couple of his old buddies out of retirement, giving them jobs on the team.
Hey, John, always great to catch up with you. Thank you so much for joining us. Look forward to talking to you again next week.
Thanks, Sean.
Jimmy and Vance, thank you guys very much. I look forward to it, too.
Fantastic. John McClain of the Houston Chronicle. Nobody talks NFL better than he does. When we come back, we will have our sports fix at 6. We've got a couple of Tennessee basketball interviews to bring you as we get you ready for the Vols against Texas Tech playing in Madison Square Garden tonight at 7 o'clock. With Vince Ferrar, I'm Jimmy Hines, Sports Talk 99.1, the sports animal.
When someone is hurt in a truck accident, the one question everyone has is, why did this terrible collision happen? To answer that question takes an experienced team of lawyers and experts. Not everyone has this type of experience. At Colombo Law, we are truck injury lawyers. It's what we do every day. When someone is hurt by a truck, Colombo Law is the law firm people call to get answers. Hurt by a truck? Call Colombo Law.